Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We are looking at In the Spirit by the Spirit. I didn't plan to be in this service. I was supposed to be at the Bible school. The Bible school was cancelled. While we were on our way to the airport, just the night before, I just got the message that the government of the nation were going to at a council meeting. So, in fact, some of those going with us were already at near the airport. I said, except you want to fly elsewhere. You know, so what? We're here. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came unto them and spake, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we are looking at the subject in the Spirit and by the Spirit, and focusing on meetings, kinds of meetings that we hold, and the kinds of attitude that we also have to bear. Now verse 19 says, to make disciples, and the word there has to do with training people. I said this on Sunday that when you are a fan of a church or a pastor, you like what they preach. I like that man of God. I like his message. That's a fan, you know. But when you are a follower, you do it. That's the difference. I like the man of God. Okay, what if the day comes that he says something you don't like? Does it mean it's not true? There are many truths that you don't like. Who agrees with me? Okay, you see? Can you see? You've just done it now. There are many things that are true that you don't like, but they are just the truth. So, you know, I like the man of God. I like that church. I like the way they worship. I like the way they sit. I like the way they stand. That is a fan. And many folks like that, they are just fans. And how you identify a fan is that he shows up on Sundays and chooses the service to attend. Wednesdays, workers, meetings. Oh, that's a fan. Or, what do you have as a fan? Maybe a spectator. But those who are members of a local church, who are followers and disciples, they show up to serve. They show up to learn. And then they practice the things they've heard. So that's a huge difference. I told you that on Sunday. A huge difference. There are people, for example, who like me. And I like them too. And they say, I love that man of God. Oh my God. When I hear him like this. But you don't see them in our meetings. They don't come up. I'm not talking about church services. I'm talking about our special meetings. They don't show up. They follow from afar. They like what they see from afar. But as they go closer to the tabernacle, they say, this doesn't look like what I hear from afar. A guy told me years ago, 2001, he said, as you were speaking, God spoke to me. That I've come to, I've met my destiny connector. That I'm going to follow you, sir. God, I said, I'm not what you saw in the pulpit. You see what he said? I was invited to preach. So I behaved myself. So outside that place, you may not really like what you see. He said, doesn't matter, sir. God spoke to me, but he gave himself sense. He didn't come again. I've not seen him in 19 years. You ask scare him, I only told him the truth. That's not what you see on the pulpit. That's a different thing. I was invited to preach. And I gave them what they needed. But when it comes to you, I'll give you what you deserve. He deserves the glory. You deserve the word. So we go that way. So you find that's the difference. So as a pastor, you need to realize that you are not meant to give people what they like. I'm not saying you go and give you what they don't like. But you must teach people the word of God that they deserve to hear. Hallelujah. To make disciples of every nation, verse 20, teaching them the word didasco, to observe all things soever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, verse 20, even unto the very end. And I said to us that one of the things you will learn in the work of discipleship as a Christian is the workings of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Spirit. The workings of the Spirit. You need to learn the workings of the Spirit. And we're in a world that everything is just logical. Everything is just logical. But it's not true. Everything is actually not logical. Because there are things, we're going to look at this on Saturday, there's the workings of the Spirit that you need to realize. You know, for example, if you're training to be a medical doctor, I'm aware that you have some courses you have to pass through. The 300 level, well, on my own university, you have to pass anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and I think community health. I think these are the four. Am I right? If I goof, just tell me error. No problem. I didn't study to be a medical doctor. Now, no matter how high you score in three of the courses, if you fail one, you'll have to do it again. And if you fail the receipt again, you go back again. So if you, I think the fifth level, I think that's one, you study the chemical pathology, and you forgot it. It's in the, and pharmacology. Yeah. Chem path. And then if you like one and you don't like the other, you'll simply become a pathologist. You won't be a doctor. Now, when you also study pediatrics, I hope I'm right, and then medicine and surgery, right? Is that together? That's the final year. Pediatrics and O and G, yeah. You say, no, I like children, but I don't like women. You are going to work in the children's church. Or the crèche. You have to study everything. So, the same thing, if you, and I remember I had to ask one of the lecturers in Nigerian law school how they graded students. And he said to me, this was years ago, he said, if you have five courses, for example, and you score 90 in four courses and score 50 in the fifth course, that your overall grade will be the fifth course. I said, no. Why not 90 times 4? 360, right? Plus, that's 40, right? That's about 400, right? Then just say, over 5, 80. He said, no. Because you cannot be a specialist. You've got to have everything. So somebody who scored 60 in all the courses will have something higher than you that scored 90, then one course that you didn't like the lecturer. You got a 50. Same way as a believer. You got to understand everything Scripture emphasizes. You cannot say, what I just like is prayer. It's prayer. What I just like is giving. Well, I hardly had hear that one. Even the first two, I hardly hear that. I said, I like worship. Nobody can worship you from you. you like that one. You like to kneel down and cry and pour out from the alabaster box. And oh Lord, this is my alabaster box. I'm giving you my past, Lord. All my failures, all my weaknesses. It was a good. 1 hour you are still crying. You are rolling on the floor. They will say, it's time to pray. Say no. My praise, my prayer. you see? You are simply choosing what to do. You see, the part of the service I like the best is, the part I like the best is song for the week. Because that's the end of the service, alright? That's your favorite part of the service. You know, you don't grow like that. You've got to be in depth on every crucial detail of the faith. And that includes flowing with the Spirit. Which includes flowing with the Spirit and learning to be led by the Spirit of God. And I believe that we ought to get a grip of it, get a hold of it. You've got to get a hold of it. My dear friend, Pastor Larry Amuson, said this years back. He said, it's not sufficient for you to know, to have known how to flow with the Holy Ghost. He said, it's not something that ought to be in your past. He said, you have to be on the edge at every time. You have to be doing it all the time. Learn the things of the Spirit. Learn the ways of the Holy Ghost. If for example, we have a conversation and I tell you, you know, follow your heart. I say, hear what God has to say. When we have those kind of conversations among believers, hear what God has to say. You will say, hey, how? What have you been doing since? Praise God. Have you not been studying, being led by the Spirit of God? Have you not been studying the inward witness? Do you think it was just for the series? And then to after the service, say what you have learned? Do you think it was just for your study group? No. It's for everyday living. So there's a conversation and your wife says to you, darling, you know what? You just have to hear God on that matter. Let's pray and hear God on that matter. Or your friend says, you know, let's just hear God on that matter. Or your pastor says, go hear God on that matter. You don't say, hear him for me. No. You already know what he says. Because last week you studied it. Amen. Last night you thought about it. This morning you heard a teaching on it. So it's not an area of your life you ought to joke. Because this world is spiritual. Man is not a physical body. That's a fact. Anybody who thinks man is a physical body needs a physical body. Man is not a physical body. Man has a physical body. Okay? That's already clear. And so you need to understand the in the spirit reality. We said that on Sunday. Romans chapter 8. And verse 8. So those are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If Christ be in you, verse 10, the Spirit is life as righteousness, and the body is dead to sin. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies, but his Spirit that walks and lives in you. Therefore, brethren, we are dead us not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But verse 13, if you through the Spirit modify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father, for the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you are children, we're sons, or we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs together with Jesus. Can we say amen? Amen. You need to learn that. So the word spirit for you is not a spooky word. The word spirit for you is a way of life. It's an identification to you. Paul writing to Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 2:1. So when I came to you, I came on the excellence of spirit, wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I was you with weakness and trembling, said my speech and preaching bound me. Verse 2. He said, I determined not to know anything, among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, verse 3, my speech and preaching. Verse 4, amongst you. He said, was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, he says, we speak this wisdom among that they are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, or the prince of this world that come to nothing. Somebody will speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. Even the hidden mystery, which God hid before the foundation of the world to our glory. For none of the things of the world need for it. They will not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, eyes haven't seen it, ears haven't heard it, neither has it in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For what things knoweth the things of a man, but the Spirit of man is with him. Even so, all the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Say, but we have received not the Spirit of this world, but which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things which we speak, not in the words with man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost to compare spiritual things to spiritual. Said the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. He cannot discern them. He can know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, but the spiritual man judges all things. Yet himself is judge of no man. Hallelujah. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, he says, that he might instruct him. But you have the mind of Christ. In other words, you have the Holy Ghost.
You have the indwelling of the Spirit. How would you talk about Christian living and not say it's by the Spirit? Galatians 3 and 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, he says, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth crucified among you? Then he says to them, I say, learn of you, that did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you seek to be perfected in the flesh. Then he says to them, he that walketh miracles among you and ministers to you the Spirit, doeth he by the hearing of by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. So you cannot talk about Christian living without talking about the Holy Ghost. How? Galatians 5 and verse 23, verse 24. Those that are Christ, Paul says, they have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lusts thereof. If we therefore live in the Spirit, 25, let us walk in the Spirit. Say, I walk in the Spirit. How would you explain the Christian life? It's not do's and don'ts, even though there's do's and don'ts in it. It's not your energy working. It's God's Spirit working. I said, it's God's Spirit working. It's God's Spirit working. Hallelujah. So you need to hear it, understand it. So every time we say, pray! Every time we say, do the word! Every time we say, walk in love! Flee fornication! Do not tell lies! Flee immorality! That's the work of the Spirit. I'm Spirit enabled. I'm Spirit inspired. Hallelujah! That's the work of the Spirit. When we say, submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God, that's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. And so we said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, same as 2 Corinthians 1, 22. It says, God has given us the earnest of His Spirit. He has sealed us and has given to us, 2 Corinthians 1, 22, the earnest of His Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise and gave us the earnest of our inheritance. Two words in there, to seal. The word seal is the word phragizo in the Greek. It means a mark of approval. How does this belong to me? It's called phragizo or phragis. And we said that the Spirit of God is how we belong to God. Say, I belong to God. I've got the Spirit of God. So you belong to God. The devil doesn't have a hold on you. Satan has no claim on you because you have the seal of God. You've got the Holy Ghost. The seal. Then it says the earnest. Erabon in the Greek. Also in the Hebrew is the same thing. Translated the same way. Erabon. I told you what Erabon means. Some versions will say down payment. And when they say down payment, what comes to my mind in my world is I want to buy a car. And then they say, these are the different payment packages. So if you're going to get this Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon 2020 model, that's about 90 million naira. Something like that. And then they say, you pay 20% down payment. As you pay 20%, that's 18 million, then all the charges. And they say, when you pay the down payment, then you take the car, then gradually you'll be paying gradually till the car, you know, but I think if you miss a month or two, they can come take the car from you. And your down payment is gone. It's down. You know, so we have the idea that God gave us a down payment. He takes the car away but pays the down payment. But we're sure he will not default. No. The word Erabon means if you say you are going to do something and we want a proof of what you are going to do, and then you give a pledged property or a pledged ability, and you say, let me give you something to let you know it will be done. And oftentimes what you will be given will surpass what was promised. So if God promised to be with you, He gives you a pledge. If He says He's going to walk through you, He gives you a pledge. If He says there's going to be power to leave, He gave you a pledge. If He says you're going to find His voice in everything you do, He gave you a pledge. An error born. He gives you what will surpass what he promised. That's what he gave you. Therefore, knowing the things of the Spirit is not additional information. It is a core information. Jesus summarized everything after promising in John 14:2. He said, fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If I wasn't told, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you'll be also. I go to prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you to myself, pardon me, so that where I am, there you'll be also. And then he asked him different questions and all that. Then he got to 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, Allos Parakletos, that he, the Father, may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot see because he knoweth him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Why does he call it the Spirit of truth? That means the reality of everything I promised will be found in the Spirit. Righteousness, faith, love, hope, the glory of God, the workings of God. He says he's in the Spirit. This is the Spirit of this truth. Glory to God. And in Luke 24, after 44, these are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, 45, that they may understand the scriptures, 46. And thus it is written, thus it is fulfilled, that it be of Christ and needs to suffer, and then raised from the dead the third day, verse 47, and remission of sins and repentance will preach to him among God and beginning at Jerusalem, verse 48, and you are witnessed unto these things. But he says, behold, verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. In other words, he says, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, every time you read the word upon you, which you are going to find in all of Luke's writings, whether in the book of Luke or in the book of Acts, the second time you're going to see it, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:4, it says, wait for the promise of my Father, which you have heard of me. John indeed baptized with water, but not many days hence you shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. The disciples came together and they asked him, Lord, would you at this time again restore the kingdom again to Israel? Then he said unto them, it is not for you, but to know the time of his wrath, no power. Say, you shall receive power, verse 8, after which the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto all parts of the earth. Upon you again. That's Luke is speaking now. In Luke 4:18, he had said it. Jesus stands up, found the place where it was written, that's the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Then in 21, today is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. This Luke. Upon Jesus. Then he says, upon you too. The day that John the Baptist, baptized Jesus, he said, I saw the Spirit of God descend on him like as a dove. He came upon. Then on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1, now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they are all in one place with one accord. In verse 2, there came suddenly a sound from heaven like a rising wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and he sat where? Upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke with all the tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, if you were looking for the word upon you, you've now found it, there will be utterance if it's upon you. He's within you in a new bath. He's upon you when you yield. He's upon you. Utterance. Utterance. And when he began to question them, Peter says, men and brethren, this is but the third hour of the day. These men are not drunk as you suppose. But it is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Then the last day said, God, I will pour of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see dreams, visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my handmaids and servants and daddies will pour out my spirit. And they shall all prophesy. Prophesy. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, when Philip had preached in Samaria and men had heard about Christ, Acts 8, 5 and 6, verse 14 says, when the apostles at Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who will come down and pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he had fallen upon none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. As they began to lay hands A man by the name of Simon the sorcerer saw that through the laying of hands the Holy Ghost was given. Then he offered them money and said, give me this power, that upon whom I lay my hands upon who receive you the Holy Ghost. Peter then answered him. He said to him, your money perish with you, for thou art taught that the gift of God might be purchased with money. You have no part, no lot in this matter, for your heart is not right. In other words, Simon the sorcerer saw it. When the Holy Ghost is upon, it is seen by others. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Peter is preaching in the house of Cornelius. He told them how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, verse 38, and he helped her all the oppressed of the devil. Then in 44, while Peter yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word. For upon the circumcision was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because those who were circumcised, the circumcision were with Peter, were astonished, that upon the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 19. Paul, finding certain disciples in verse 2, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed in Ephesus? And they said, we have not heard whether there had been the Holy Ghost. He said, well, to what then were you baptized? Unto John the Baptist. Said, John verily baptized with repentance, saying unto the people, that should believe on him, that should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul, verse 6, laid his hands upon them. And the Holy Ghost, watch that. That means Paul laid his hands, the Holy Ghost came on them. Which means Holy Ghost coming upon is our action. Paul laid his hands, the Holy Ghost came on. Acts 8:15, they laid hands, the Holy Ghost came on them. So the Holy Ghost coming on people is what we do. The Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came. And they prophesied. They spoke with tongues. And then they prophesied. Hallelujah. In other words, I need to also learn how the Holy Ghost comes upon. Amen. I know how the Holy Ghost comes upon. That means, just like he told them in Luke 24:49, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost coming upon is your move. It's your move. It's your move. It's your move. If the Holy Ghost is going to come upon people in the meeting, it's still your move. It's your move. Paul laid hands. Peter and John laid hands. And the Holy Ghost came upon. It's your move. It's your move. It's your move. Is your move? Is your move? What if you don't know the move? There are folks like that. They know less than what they should know. Let me hide their ignorance somewhere. Behind the clefts of the rock. They learn less than what they should know. They know everything but how the Holy Ghost moves. They know they can cry and cry and say, Lord, Lord, Lord. They'll do all the crying, all the repentance. But they say, oh Lord, give us the Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Ghost in Nigeria. We want the Holy Ghost in our situation. They will pray. They say, brethren, what we need is revival. Brethren, are you crying? Cry out to God. You are not crying enough. Are you crying like that? If you cry, He will give you His Spirit. They will cry like that. Come down, Holy Spirit, come down. We are waiting for you. And they will wait truly. But then, they will see someone, maybe a young chap. Maybe his hairstyle doesn't look crying enough. Then he lays hands on somebody. And the person begins to speak and says, may God rescue us from this kind of Christianity. You see, they can't recognize the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin will say, if the Holy Ghost will come when a red hat across the road, many will not recognize him. They don't know. Sometimes people pray, they don't even know what they prayed for. How do you see in the Bible? Acts 12. Acts 12, 5. They said supplication was made in the church on behalf of Peter. People were praying, prayer group. Oh Lord. Different churches. Hey, Lord. Lord, Peter. Oh, Lord, Peter. Lord, Peter. Oh, Peter. Oh, Peter. Oh, Lord, we declare. Nothing happened to Peter. He's the apostle. Nothing happened to Peter. Then Rhoda. That's Pastor Lance Salmon. Pastor Lance has a Rhoda like that in his life.
You don't want to know that story, right? He told me about one road. That's some 16 years ago, 17 years. About a road. So every time I read that scripture, his face just comes up. Pastor Lance Ruder. Don't bother about it. One day I'll say it in full discussion. So you see, Rhoda goes to the door and says, "Nora! You were just praying for something." And then he shows her and says, "No, it is ghost, it is ghost. Lord, don't do this to us. Why a ghost?" That means somewhere in their mind they think maybe he's dead. They expected a phone call, he didn't call. They thought they would say his email, he gave an email. Then he came through the door. "Ah!" He goes, "Peter is there." I said, "Peter, what's wrong with you? I've warned you. Ruta. I've warned you about these movies you watch. We're not joking here. We are praying for God to move. You're saying nonsense." But I said, "I saw Peter." "Who is Peter?" "Is that how they release people?" "Did you see it on CNN?" Nonsense and ignorance. Sometimes we pray. We don't know how to receive the result. There's a move of God going on. And I'm receiving it all the way. All the way. My heart is open for new things. Oh, my heart is open for new things. There are some things probably I haven't seen before. I'm still going to see them. Amen. I've not seen everything. I said, I've not seen everything. I've not seen most of the things. There are many things to see. And when I see them, I take them. Have you seen? There are many things to see. Glory to God. The move of the Holy Ghost doesn't stop with rejoicing. No, there are things to see. There are clouds that will fall. There are deals that will shake the meetings. Woo! Angels there will partake. Do you get what I'm saying? I haven't seen everything. There are things in the move of God I'm going to see. Glory to God. Things to see. There are things to see. I'm convinced that all over Africa there's a charismatic renewal of a fresh, real move of the Spirit. You see, sometimes you could get so weary because of the false prophets. See, they can't match it. False prophets won't match it. The power of God is louder than the power of Satan. Amen. We are praying and we are receiving it. On the streets we are receiving it. In our evangelism we are receiving it. In our follow up we are receiving it. We have people receive the Holy Ghost in a mass. You know, sometimes you say, "Well, I'll lay hands, then I'll explain, but there are some things that can also happen." You know, you said, while Peter was still sharing. Sometimes protocols are broken. I've seen a fellow, I asked him to say after me. Then I used to preach that way. Say after me. He came out in tongues. I said, somewhere in my mind saying, you know, my religious mind say, without confession, how can I speak in tongues? Without confession, no. But I told him, don't be a fool. Because it's only a fool that thinks that way. Amen. Praise God. I was in a meeting. There was a guy, it was my friend who ministered. The guy was dumb, never spoken before. The first things he spoke was tongues. And somewhere in my mind I felt, are we sure it's tongues? Because it's the first time I was speaking. You know, the devil is messing you up. He's messing you up. Hallelujah. The move of the Holy Ghost can't be calculated. Things can just happen. Amen. Sometimes you're not even teaching healing.
You're just talking about righteousness. And then cancer leaves someone's body. You won't have to lay hands. There are things we are going to see. I haven't seen many things. I haven't seen most things. So there's no time to sit down and relax. We're on the go. We're on the go. Hear me. What is spreading all over the world is not a virus. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, it's not a virus. God's word is growing. Just in 48 hours, we've gotten opportunities to put the word of God around. We've gotten opportunities to come and train people in their churches. That is what is growing. Hallelujah. I've gotten testimonies of people who got healed. Amen. That is what is growing. Hallelujah. So when you tune to CNS, I said go to Living Word Media. It depends on what you want to watch. Hallelujah. Are you there? Someone was telling me, hey, you think CNN is doing conspiracy? I said, I don't even watch it. We have our own conspiracy. He's the conspiracy of the word and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We have many things to see. We have times to fast and pray. Because we are not giving up. On the move of God, we're not giving up. Hallelujah. There's a move of God in Nigeria. All over Africa. There's a move of God. In that move, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, the gift of faith, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, the word of wisdom, joy and rejoicing. It's in the move. Glory to God. Have your seat, amen. That's what is moving. That is our move. That's my move. That's what I pray for. That's what I receive. That's what I talk about. Glory to God. Amen. Have your seat. Thanks be unto God. Who causes us to triumph and makes manifest the knowledge of Jesus Christ in every place. Hallelujah. We make manifest the knowledge of Jesus Christ in every place, in every country, in every region. Thanks be unto God who leads us in his triumphant possession. Woo! Oh. Your seat. Glory to God. Our message is the word of grace, the word of faith, the word of righteousness, the word of life. Hallelujah. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We have a big mouth. And we have a big God to back it up. A big God to back it up. Because the Holy Ghost is here. There's no fear here. The Holy Ghost is here. We're on the go. We're on the go. We're on the go. We're on the go. Hallelujah. Sit down. We're on the go. We're on the go. We're on the go. And our voice is louder and clearer and unhindered as we push the gospel all over the nations. Hallelujah. Satan, is that your best? Is that your best? Do more. We're there here for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word is growing. The influence of the Spirit is growing. Men are receiving the gospel. The dead are being raised. Blind eyes are opened. Deaf ears unstopped.
The dumb speak. The sick are healed. The oppressed go free. Men are filled with the Holy Ghost. In their thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions. Glory to God. Amen. Have your seat. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So who learn to be on the move of the Spirit. We are in the move of the Spirit. We are. And I'll just say this. We learn to pray more in tongues. I'm saying this as an instruction. Pray a lot in tongues. You know, if you used to pray a lot, maybe you used to pray 1 hour in tongues before, make it five. Pray in tongues. You see, you need to pray in tongues. Paul, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3. He that prophesies speaks unto men, unto edification, comfort, and exhortation. He says, but he that speaks in tongues, verse 4, edifies himself. Edifies himself. Check that word, oikodomio. It means to build. To build. To strengthen. To reinforce. He edifies himself. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, if I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues. He said, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. How is it that? He said, I'll pray with the spirit, pray with the understanding. I'll sing in the spirit and sing with the understanding. Hallelujah. That's what he says. That's what he says. So I'll do that more. If he could say in 18, he said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. More than you all. Jude 20, beloved, but you beloved. You know in 19 it says, not, it says, be sensual, not having the spirit. That's what he calls the world. They are sensual. Sense ruled. Ruled by fear. Ruled by lust. Ruled by emotions. Everything is in the flesh. But he says, but you beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. It's an instruction. He told you the world, they don't have the spirit. So they are sensual. Everything is sensual. Sensual. They watch something, they yield to it. They yield to this one, they walk in the lust of the flesh. They use that one, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Say, but no. You beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, your head with the helmet of salvation, your chest with the breastplate of righteousness. He said, your feet shod about with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then he says, the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching unto all perseverance for all saints and for us. Hallelujah. So there's such a thing as that old armor of God and the instruction that follows. Say, you will take unto yourselves a shield of faith. That you will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. You know the armor is for the preaching of the gospel. Then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in the Spirit. Imagine repeating the word Spirit twice. Pay attention. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. And watching unto all perseverance for all saints. Praying in the Spirit means we'll need to yield to the Holy Ghost in prayer. To the Holy Ghost in prayer. I'll pray in tongues. Don't take your prayer request from the news. No, don't do it. Don't take your prayer request from some useless WhatsApp messages. Take your prayer from the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues so much. In fact, really, sometimes it's better to say nothing than to say rubbish. Just pray in tongues. What do you have to say so and so? Just pray and say, well, thank God for his word. and pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the pray in tongues a lot. 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 Pray in tongues. And also pray, being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. I said, Lord, rolling burdens on your heart. On our hearts. On our hearts. Sometimes in our prayer group meetings, we're praying in this direction, and rightly so. But as we tune to the Holy Ghost, He seems to, you know, somebody, when I was in the room, the Lord told me to ask a question. That how many of you in the last 48, 72 hours felt an urge to pray more in tongues? Last few days, you just felt this thing about praying in tongues more. You know, He said that there are people like that have already urged in their hearts. You are only going to remind them. That's what He told me before I came here. That there's been this thing in people's hearts about praying more in tongues. Just remind them. That was not just a thought. I was the one stirring them. God is, oftentimes in meetings like this, many things that we say will have been on your heart already. Maybe you didn't have expression for them. Maybe you didn't know, you know, what the instructions were. Now, making it clear. Pray in the Spirit more. Pray in the Spirit more. Not just that. Pray being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. That means in your prayer, be open to the leadings of the Spirit. 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 You know, prayer works. And the power of God works. Prayer works. And the power of God works. So as we pray in the Spirit, we are strengthened, strong. We are emboldened to carry out God's will in the earth. And we will. We will. We will. We're going to have the move of God that happens in our meetings, amongst us. We're going to have it on the streets. Spontaneous things will happen. No one day like that. 1998, July 31. I was holding a birthday party for a friend. That was Pastor Wumi's teacher. It was her birthday. Independent Cafe, University of Ibadan. I was the MC, really. The meeting was very interesting. The man called upon to preach. You know, He heard that myself and my friends were seated. And I came to the meeting mischievously with all sorts of things. A big diary, 4 translations, just to give the man a hell. You know, the man drove around and he drove away. So we didn't have anybody to preach at the birthday. Because usually we used to have birthdays like meetings. If you have a birthday, we used to do Holy Ghost meetings. I mean, it used to be something that you did a lot. You know, nobody would come around and be taking pictures and kneeling down and ready to ring. And all those kind of things. Well, people do it today and God bless them. But when you do all those kind of things, just move of God. So, when they knew I was the one doing the MC, he didn't come again. I've changed now. Now, you can come when I go MC. So, the meeting started. And so, it just became a Holy Ghost meeting. And it was quite a Holy Ghost meeting. It was quite a Holy Ghost meeting. It was in a cafe. So, people were around. Eventually, Brother Oaks, now, he gave a prophecy. In fact, I remember I prophesied for up to 45 minutes. He just prophesied. We had the tape for years. Prophesied. Pastor Tunde Thomas, who pastors in, is it Glory House, London too, was there. He prophesied. Pastor Yin Kadili, pastor of Exchange Church, he was there. He prophesied. I did. Different people prophesied. It was quite a meeting. And the move of God was there. A lady, her name is Tokme, what's her son's name now? She used to be Tokme Odumadi. Her leg was stuck like this for hours. We had to lay hands on her for it to be separated. It was a birthday. Now, the unique thing was that people now came around the hall. Because they saw something was happening, they now came around. Do you know that just by turning to them and saying, what do you want? They fell under the power of God. Those who were Christians there began to laugh in the Spirit. Now, what I see is that that is going to keep happening again. Amen. I've given you names. Alright? It's July 31st. Because that is Yemi's birthday. Was it 31st or 27th? I think I mixed it up. I think it's 27th. I think it's July 27th. Yemi, what's her son now? What's her teacher? She's doctor. What is it? She's, what's her son now? But she's your teacher. Joel, yes. She's now Yemi Joel. You know, she was 27th. I think it was 27th of July. And, you know, people outside just yielded to the Holy Ghost. Outside, those who are Christians began to laugh. Those who are not believers just fell under the power of God. And there was silence among the unbelievers. Amen. Hallelujah. We can pray those things to happen. How can you be on campus and all you came out of campus with is a damsel? How? Amen. Your vomit cost. Ah! Your vomit miserable. All you came out of campus is a damsel or a brother. A brother. A soul. No! Let's have the move of God. Amen. We can pray it to happen. We can yield for it to happen. Hallelujah. Let's have the move of God. Fresh ones. Fresh ones. Fresh ones. Fresh ones. Amen. People are drinking in the pubs and they are yielding to Christ. Fresh ones. People are cultists and they are yielding to Christ. Fresh ones. The people who are going to commit suicide will see you and they'll stop. Fresh things of God. Amen. 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 What is it you went to? Thank God for your life. There's nothing wrong. You should have a first class. Aim for the best. You know, if you have somebody to marry from school, fine. Good for you. God bless you. In every spiritual blessing, every place in Christ. But you see, what you have just done, an atheist can do it and do it better. But you know what is different? The move of God. The move of God. The move of God. The Spirit of God working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, remember when your pastors were in school. School was too quiet. They went to get a mad guy on campus, outside campus, and brought him to campus, healed, and the whole campus erupted. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Not that, you know, they're just there, doing quiet evangelism. You don't believe? Believe, no? You should believe. 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 No! Hallelujah. There's such a thing about old revivalists. They were people that never gave up. Charles Finney, John Wesley. Look at all of them. Men of prayer. They said, no! Something must happen. Something must happen. We're not quiet folks. We're loud. Loud about the power of God. Loud about the move of the Spirit. Loud about the gospel. Pray in the Spirit. Pray more. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost and pray. Be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led. Be led. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not led by the media. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Spend time praying more in tongues. Praying more in tongues. Not chatting. Picking on the phone. You know, watching something. Praying in tongues more. If you can fast. I told you on Sunday. If you can fast. And wait for those things to happen. Sometimes as you pray, it will happen elsewhere, even where you are not. But you know, yeah, things are happening. Just as the prophet said it will be. Hallelujah. 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 We want more. Yeah. We have not seen most things. And we're going to see them. Brother Hagen said something. Play for me, I close. He said, there's nothing, there's no move of God he has never seen. Ah. I said, what? He said, there's none. He said, there's none. That he hasn't heard anything else anywhere he hasn't seen before. Whether it's 100 years before him, 200 years, I've seen it before. I said, huh? I said, what a challenge. Hallelujah. What a challenge. You know, different things. His service is going on, people just go quiet. Or without planning it. And then God moves. Service is going on, an unbeliever comes in, walks in, and he's just saved. You know, things like that. Going for evangelism. And then a whole house says somebody's around. Now you are the one. What's going on here? You know, things like that. Things like that. Things like that. Things like that. Now Christians are showing off phones, showing off makeup. What does that mean? Christians are now saying, hey, you say, hey, see that guy? He's happening guy. You are not happening. Do you know how to happen? 1,000 filled with the Holy Ghost, 1 hour. That's how to happen. Not the color of your car. We're talking about the move of God. The move of God. You enter the town and they knew you came. You enter the village and people got born again. Yes! And it's happening now. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.